Where are things heading in terms of bevacizumab in the adjuvant setting? I think you all are doing a pilot study looking at this, and now we have a large cooperative group trial evaluating that. Can you talk about what was being looked at right now, where you see things heading?
Let me talk about the trial that was presented at ASCO, if I could. We have the publication from December 2006 comparing paclitaxel carboplatin to paclitaxel carboplatin and bevacizumab, and got a prolongation of median survival of approximately 2 months and had an increase in the progression-free survival from approximately 4 to 6 months and was associated with an acceptable risk of bleeding. And the drug was approved for that subset of patients for which it was designed. A similar trial was designed in Europe using different drugs. It was using gemcitabine and cisplatin. And instead of using a single dose level of 15 milligrams per kilogram of bevacizumab, the European trial used 7.5, half as much, and 15. So the 15 was common to both trials. In the trial performed with the paclitaxel carboplatin and bevacizumab, they saw a progression-free survival of approximately 4.5, which extended to 6.2 months. The progression-free survival hazard ratio for the current with gem-cis and the two different doses was 0.75 and 0.8, ones where you would expect to see a difference, and these are ones that you typically see with a survival advantage of adding 2-to-1 agents and what we typically see in trials. The hazard ratio was slightly lower in the paclitaxel carboplatin of 0.66, but it was certainly within where we would expect. Now, the European trial, at the time it was reported at ASCO, did not have adequate information on survival. There were about 50% of the events, so they didn't report the survival. I sort of hope that they didn't present it because it was indeed immature, and we hope that the survival will track with the advantage in the progression-free survival. One of the things that will be discussed quite a bit is the changes in the progression-free survival between the control arm and the 7.5 arm, which was the better of the two, went from 6.1 to 6.7 months. Now, that may be a median survival issue, but you know, when you take a look at something less than a month, difference in progression-free survival, if that's your primary endpoint, reasonable people will look at that and ask, is that enough to make this a standard of care? And that's probably something that's going to be discussed extensively. And I think this is one place where it becomes very important to take a look at what the curves actually look like, because it may be just that there isn't much difference at the median and you see a bigger spread at the bottom, but it'll be important to compare the whole curves and obviously not just the median survival.